This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj. It is Monday, the 16th of August. If you'd just like a reminder on the date for today. And joining me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
So if you are waiting for a special announcement from Putrajaya following a special meeting at Istana Negara, we're waiting for that too. Right. We'll be bringing you the latest on that announcement as and when it comes in. We also have a whole bunch of experts on standby to talk to us about these developments. But while we wait for news on that, we thought we'd talk about reopening for business.
Right. Our question is, will you be visiting the barber / car wash / furniture shop, whatever, now that they're open for business, right? Do let us know via Twitter and Instagram. That's at BFM Radio. The options on Twitter are yes, finally, I'm not sure, I'm not fully vaccinated, or no, too soon. Also, chat with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Yes. Yeah, so with Klang Valley surpassing the 50% fully vaccinated rate, more business activity have been allowed to resume operations, but with a few caveats, of course.
So yesterday, the government lifted restrictions for 11 types of economic activities under phase one of the National Recovery Plan. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said leeway for those 11 types of businesses will apply to all states still under phase one of the NRP. Another prerequisite is that at least 50% of the adult population has to be fully vaccinated in these states. So according to STAR, 51.5% of the adult population in Klang Valley are already fully vaccinated, and these businesses will only be open to customers who are fully vaccinated. And by definition, being fully vaccinated requires 14 days after a second dose of Pfizer, AstraZeneca and Sinovac. I pass 28 days after the single dose of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And the 11 businesses are barbers and hair salons for basic haircuts only, car wash shops, electrical shops, shops selling household appliances and kitchen supplies, car accessories workshops and car sales showrooms, morning and farmers markets, clothing and personal accessory stores, jewelry stores, furniture shops and sports equipment shops.
Right.
Jewelry, right?
Jewelry, right. The government said that it took into account data and from risk assessments conducted by the Health Ministry and the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs. And after discourse with all stakeholders in these sectors of interest, it has agreed to facilitate the trade and distribution sector with effect from today, August 16th. Tan Sri Muhyiddin also stressed how these boutiques and accessory shops must adhere to strict SOPs, which include the need to use gloves, you know, limiting the number of customers, and how long they spend inside these shops, right? And how they are not allowed to use the fitting rooms. He also reminded all business owners to ensure customers produce a digital vaccination certificate before being allowed entry into these shops. Digital vaccination certificates, yeah.
So similarly, the government also announced 11 more business activities allowed to resume under phase two of the NRP. Photography and photo services shops, secondhand item shops, flower shops and plant nurseries, handicraft and souvenir shops, antique shops, toy stores, carpet shops, shops selling creative sector equipment, outdoor activity stores, cosmetics, dermatology, perfume stores, tobacco shops, which applies to those selling vapes as well.
Now, the same rules apply to patrons of these businesses under phase two, meaning they must be fully vaccinated and produce their digital vaccination certificates to be allowed entry. Additionally, the PM announced that the manufacturing, construction and mining sectors have also been allowed to resume operations in capacities that coincide with the percentage of their staff who have been fully vaccinated. So he said companies with a 40 to 59% full vaccination rate will be allowed to operate at 60% capacity. Those with 60 to 79% immunization rate for of its workers are allowed to operate at 80% capacity. So you get, you know, so between 80 and 100, then you get to operate in full capacity. So now, while this is great news for the businesses out there who have just been waiting to open for business, how do you really feel about this, Frida? You know, you're fully vaccinated. You've done your 14 days after your second dose. And, you know, are you going to be going to these shops?
So I find that sometimes these broad sweep announcements in certain sectors. I don't think that that's the way to revive the economy. Okay, that's just my personal opinion, right? Mm-hmm. So if you talk about hair salons and all that, right? I mean, limited time that you're in there. I need to do my hair, okay? I need to do my hair, right? And it's not just a haircut that I need to do, right? Okay.
But you can't do more than just a haircut now.
So I'm saying that the way forward is that if you hair salons, if, for example, everybody, all your staff is fully vaccinated, then allow the same rules for them, strict SOP supply, and they only serve customers who are fully vaccinated,
right?
And but you're still doing full SOP because otherwise, and it, this then gives people an incentive to, I need to get my vaccination done, yeah. I need to hurry up and get my vaccination, you know, that sort of thing, right? But that's how you sort of like, and of course people will come in and check, lah, you know, they will check with the owner, are you fully vaccinated and all your staff fully vaccinated, and those the customers as well. So, you know, and of course they will not accept customers that are not fully vaccinated, right? I think that's the way forward rather than, you know, just capping it to certain ways and slowly this then everything will open up.
Now, I think you brought up a good point there about vaccination for employees of these outlets, right? Because there's really been no real news on the vaccination rates of the employees in the retail sector. So, you know, customers need to be fully vaxxed, but what about the employees
as well?
So, you know, that's something that's kind of missing in here as well. Yeah. And, you know, we've also heard stories about how some businesses are still reluctant to resume business because of the case numbers. We're still hovering at about 20,000 every day.
So we give the business owners the liberty to decide, right? If they're worried or whatever, up to you, right?
And that's what's happening,
right?
You know?
But give them the liberty, right? And so if all my staff's fully vaccinated, right, then let me open.
Right. Now, we are asking you on the show today if you will be visiting the barber or the car wash or the furniture shop or any of the shops that have newly reopened today, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, of course, you know, get in touch with us and tell us how you feel about this. If it's too soon, if you're not fully vaccinated, if you're not really sure whether you want to just yet, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we will have a guest to talk to us about, you know, loosening of restrictions and, you know, if it's too soon or should we welcome this move? All that and more happening after Grand Funk Railroad with Rock and Roll Soul. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about loosening of restrictions for certain sectors of the economy.
Right. So we're asking, will you be visiting the barber, car wash, furniture shop? And a lot of you have come in to respond. Thanks for this. So yes, finally, at 40.2%. No, too soon at 33.7%. I'm not sure, and I'm not fully vaccinated, both at about 13%.
Right. Now, looking at Instagram, it's just yes and no on IG, and we've got 56% who say yes and 44% who say no. And I thought we'd read a little comment before we get to our expert who's waiting on the line for us. We've got one here from Ellie Cat who says, yes, I'm more than happy to contribute back to our local businesses in whatever ways I can. In fact, I was the first customer to show up at a local thrift store this morning. More than happy to show him my vaccine cert. The staff get to work again. She goes on to say,
I'm going to take my car to car wash this evening. Going to buy flowers for my mom. Going to get my hair cut this week. Always be wary of SOP. Life is to be resumed in one way or another. Waiting for sports industry to be open properly. Outdoor sports in open white spaces equals less risk, which is what I do.
I'm so jealous because I'm not fully vaccinated. I'm waiting for my second dose, you know, but I can... I feel the excitement from Ellie here, you know, being able to do those things and just, you know, it's some of the things that I've actually missed, you know, just going to buy flowers, you know, things like that. Yeah, so tell us what you think. Will you be visiting all these newly reopened stores, the barber, the car wash, now that they're reopened for business? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. Right now, we have on the line with us Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. And we thought we'd get his thoughts on the loosening of restrictions in certain states. And of course, you know, all these businesses reopening for business. Professor, thank you for staying on the line. Now, just to kick things off, What are your thoughts on the loosening of restrictions, you know, in some of these states and those in phase one as well, like we heard yesterday? You know, some say it's too soon. Others have welcomed the move. What do you think?
So my thoughts on loosening restrictions in certain states are that I actually support lifting the restrictions across the country as a whole as soon as possible. So if this needs to be done on a state-by-state basis, then that's one way of being more flexible and achieving the national lifting of restrictions more quickly. Mm. Now, under the National Recovery Plan, there were a set of criteria and threshold targets set out which helped us to understand how we would move from one phase to another. But unfortunately, within weeks, the Ministry of Health modelling showed that we wouldn't reach these targets before the end of the year because the case numbers were rising so quickly. So now that we've abandoned case numbers as one of the criteria to determine whether we should move from one phase to another, we should have greater flexibility. But there's also a little bit of confusion because in six states, they have already moved to phase two without meeting some of the criteria set out even in the revised form.
So the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, or FMM, recently urged the government to open all industries and to remove the segregation of essential and non-essential terminology as they all belong to the same supply chain, right? So what are your thoughts on this?
And I think that that makes sense, and they're right to do that, and they're backed by almost all other industry groups. The distinction between what is an essential company and what is a non-essential company, or an essential activity and non-essential activity, has always been arbitrary, and the categorization process is always being very unclear. It doesn't appear that these lists of essential and non-essential activities have been created by economists because they don't make any economic or business sense. Every business is essential to someone who has no other source of income and relies upon that business and employment in that business to feed and support their families. And for essential businesses to function, they often need supplies from non-essential firms. Mm. And so the distinction doesn't make any sense anymore when you consider that in the context of the supply chain. So it's very important that that distinction is removed and that restrictions are lifted across all industrial sectors, because all industrial sectors are struggling at the moment.
Right. Prof, the same article mentioned a recession and economic collapse. Realistically, how long can the economy sustain itself with hubs like Selangor and KL still in phase one and no end in sight?
Since the beginning of the year, we've been discussing various phases of the economy based on different scenarios that we see unfolding due to the progression of the virus and the lockdowns and the various restrictions that we've been facing. So as the lockdowns have extended, we have been discussing the survival trap, where households and firms and the government itself uses up their savings and their reserves simply to survive. Now, we're through that phase up to the middle of August now, and it's clear that most of the reserves are gone. And currently, we're at a tipping point, where unless the lockdowns are lifted, we're going to face a very significant downturn and even a recession. So the latest GDP data for the second quarter was not very good, and it showed a 2% decline quarter on quarter, and Bank Negara have slashed their 2021 growth forecast in half, from between 6 and 7.5% to between 3 and 4% for the year as a whole. Yeah. In order for the economy to hit the new Bank Negara forecast, the bank is assuming that we will move into phase four, which is full reopening of the economy, as early as September. And that when that happens, consumers will spend more, and those people who have lost their jobs or become underemployed or who've had pay cuts will find well-paid jobs quickly or have their salary restored. Now, we don't think that that's going to happen. Government data from the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development and Cooperatives, for example, shows that their surveys indicate that by October, which is only 6 weeks from where we are now, 56% of micro, small and medium-sized enterprises, it could be 580,000 companies, could close by October. Oh. And that might cause 7 million job losses. The second quarter data for the retail sector and the services sector was also very poor, according to Department of Statistics data. And industry reports from the Retailers Associations, for example, has shown that retailers are reporting between 60 and 90% drops in sales. 80% of retailers have cut salaries for the economy as a whole. Average and medium wages for those taking income through salaries fell by 9% and 15.6%, respectively. Half of those on salaries earn barely 2,000 ringgit per month. Youths have been particularly hit hard. So there really has been a very difficult hit, even in the second year now of the COVID crisis. And this is the tipping point that makes the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers fear a recession. And they're right to be afraid of that.
Oh, some scary figures
there. Right, Prof. Moving to the retail scene. Now, they're doubtful it'll reach 100% vaccination for all workers. From a policy standpoint, how can the government tackle the situation while supporting the retail scene?
So the retailers have also said that they're quite doubtful that they'll be able to reach 100% vaccination for everybody working in the retail sector. But it isn't just them that will have this problem. All sectors and actually the population as a whole is very unlikely to reach this 100% vaccination level. Right. A survey this week by Monash University and Sunway University, along with USM, showed that around a third of young respondents were either unsure or uncertain about getting the vaccine, or some of them said that they certainly wouldn't get the vaccine. Mm. Only about 50% of individuals in that youth age group between 18 and 30 said that they have a positive attitude toward the vaccine. And 24% of people in the lower education groups and 21% of all of the male respondents in the survey said that they were unsure or they have no intention of being vaccinated. So when you have that level of vaccine hesitancy, it may well be very difficult to set a target for 100% vaccination overall for all sectors, not just the retail sector. And there are legitimate reasons why people might choose not to get vaccinated. Perhaps they have a medical condition, perhaps for religious reasons, perhaps they have preconditions that would cause complications. Perhaps they're just unconvinced or they're scared. And these are legitimate reasons for them to be hesitant about getting vaccination. And we shouldn't dismiss that. We should try to address those issues as much as we can. It may be that they are already immune, of course. Perhaps they've been through an asymptomatic COVID-19 episode and they may already have developed natural immunity. But of course, because no effort's being made to test whether people already have natural immunity, we will never really know whether we have that significant group in the population, and therefore we wouldn't really know whether we could reach 100% immunity, even if we don't reach 100% vaccination. And the idea of herd immunity has been largely abandoned by many credible scientists. In fact, even here in Malaysia, the minister in charge of vaccination said he doesn't use the term herd immunity anymore. And leading medical experts have said that it's unrealistic here in Malaysia. And it also may not make complete sense because the latest data from the Ministry of Health and the Galen Centre, which is a public health think tank, shows that around 20% of all new COVID cases are people who are already vaccinated. And this is from ministry data directly. Right. In the United States, the director of the Center for Disease Control, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she made it clear that vaccines don't stop infection or transmission. The best that they can do is to reduce symptoms. And this is why, this is what they are designed to do, actually. So even when we have 100% vaccination, or if we were able to achieve that target, we would still have a COVID-19 problem, and there would still be infections and transmissions within the community. And we already know that even before the vaccinations began, 88% of new cases were category 1 and category 2. That means they had no symptoms or only very mild symptoms. And the number of people in those two categories has now risen to 98% of the number of new cases that's being reported every day. And we also know that less than 0.4% of those who test positive actually succumb to the illness and pass away. And most of those are people who have comorbidities. So from a policy perspective, the government must be honest about this and understand that insisting on an unachievable target of 100% vaccination could lead to bad policies. Policies, for example, which force people to be vaccinated against their will. And this is unjust, and it could even lead to civil unrest, as we've seen in other countries around the world. And we don't want to see that sort of thing here in Malaysia. We shouldn't really be persecuting people who haven't been vaccinated, and we shouldn't have a no jab, no job policy or approach. We really should be providing support for people and for companies, particularly those in the retail sector, but in other sectors too, to help them to open up, to get back to work, and to be honest about the risks, which will remain for vaccinated people as well as unvaccinated people, even if we had 100% vaccination in the population overall.
Right. Final question, Prof. If our case numbers don't drop for the next few months, what kind of policies can be introduced to sustain the economy while balancing lives versus livelihoods?
Well, the truth is that the economy can't be sustained if it remains in lockdown. The data from the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development and Cooperatives has shown us that by October, which is only 6 weeks from now, 580,000 micro, small and medium-sized enterprises could close, with an impact on 7 million job losses. And that's a big hit, and it's happening soon. So it's very difficult to imagine policies that can sustain that. The only type of policies that could be introduced are to address that level of risk is to open up the economy immediately. Even then, there is already a great deal of damage that has already been done. Many companies have already closed. Many people have already lost their jobs. Many people have run out of savings. Their salaries have been reduced. We've discussed that just a moment ago. And so there will continue to be a need for government policies to support households and firms, perhaps helping with cash flows, perhaps helping with re-employment opportunities, perhaps helping to sustain people's income. But if the lockdown continues, any sort of policy or plan can do nothing more than support people's income. And already the government is resorting to very small, infrequent handouts as part of income support programs, and also resorting to food parcels to those people in most desperate need. And this is not really sufficient. It will barely sustain livelihoods, and it certainly won't sustain the economy. There's already a growing underground economy of people who are actually working in sectors that have formerly been closed. They do this because they have to earn a living. They have very little choice, but it's very risky for them because, of course, it breaks the rules. And if they're caught, they risk very significant compounds and very significant financial penalties. There are no economic policies that can sustain an economy that's shut down. And so if the lockdowns persist, we risk a deep recession or even a depression, with terrible social and economic consequences. And actually, we're already seeing it. But unfortunately, many policymakers are often ignoring that suffering. And that's one of the reasons why we are persisting with these policies, which are not actually being effective.
Right. Thank you for that, Professor. That was Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Some of the figures that have been ingrained in my brain right now, 580,000 jobs could be lost in 6 weeks in October, you know, 7 million jobs there, right? Sorry, 580,000 businesses could close. Yeah. Well, that's startling figures. We have some comments to get through, actually.
I'll just go through the one on WhatsApp. So we've got one here from Rose. Doesn't this sound like a move in an episode of The Twilight Zone? Cases are rising to the point we're being treated in car parks and suddenly we're reopening. Sounds like a desperate move in desperate times to be popular and hold the power. Sadly, only the racket will pay the price of this gamble. Then we've got a comment here from Stephen Ho. He said, I visit barber because I need decent haircut for my online meeting, and my barber is very compliant to SOP all this while since the first MCO. Anyway, they just announced that they're not opening so soon, so most of them either only gotten first dose or still haven't passed the window period of second dose. For car wash, just dropped my car and walked away, so I think it's fine. The car wash that I usually visit are run by locals, so I believe they should have already gotten their bags. We'll avoid car wash that are run by foreigners though, you know, because don't know whether they've registered their vax or not, right? So that's a concern. But honestly, I would be more confident to visit a shop which shows their vax status up front. Right?
Okay, so that's interesting. That's an interesting suggestion. Mm. We are asking you on the show today if you will be visiting the barber, the car wash, furniture shops, etc.
Candlestick maker.
Now that they're open for business, you have about 25 minutes to get in touch with us and tell us how you feel. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. We're going to take a quick break now with some Blondie and Picture This, but Enterprise Biz Bikes will be right back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me as usual is
Frida Liu.
On the show today, we are talking about opening for business.
Right. So will you be visiting the barber, car wash, furniture shop? The poll currently now stands at yes, finally, 40.5%. No, too soon at 33%. Not sure. And I'm not fully vaccinated at about 13%.
Over on Instagram, just yes and no over there. We've got 56% who say yes, 44% who say no. Now, we just heard before the break from Professor Jeffrey Williams, who kind of explained why Malaysia right now, we are at a tipping point. You know, the economy needs to be reopened because 580,000 small and medium and micro enterprises are at risk of closing down in just 6 weeks in October. That means 7 million jobs are at risk. So we understand why we need to start opening the economy up, right? But also some people may feel like it's too soon. With 20,000 cases a day, this might be just a little bit tricky, right, at the moment. But how do SMEs feel about this? Well, the Small and Medium Enterprises Association, or SMENTA, has welcomed the announcement by the government of further relaxation of the economic sectors for states in phase one and two of the NRP, or the National Recovery Plan. However, they urge the government to reconsider the current guidelines to make them more consistent and reflective of operational reality.
So firstly, they repeated their call to do away with the distinction between essential and non-essential businesses. And I think Prof mentioned it as well, right? And for reopening decisions to be based strictly on capacity, ability to implement and enforce social distancing and safe operational guidelines and vaccination status, employees, customers and visitors. They said, for example, while we are allowing the reopening of morning markets where enforcement are carried out by volunteers and umbrella officers, we have yet to allow the operations of trade exhibitions where enforcements are usually far more organized and held in larger venues. Another example of the inconsistencies that while we are allowing the reopening of furniture shops in phase one of the PPN, carpet shops are only allowed to be reopened in phase two. Are carpet shops inherently more dangerous than furniture shops? And what if a shop sells both furniture and carpets?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Secondly, they urge the government to refine the SOP and reopening guideline to reflect a single operational parameter instead of announced tiered approach. They said, we suggest allow all sectors, including manufacturing, construction and retail, to reopen at 80% capacity when 80% of all employees are fully vaccinated, while allowing only visitors and customers who are fully vaccinated. This will serve the dual purpose of reinforcing trust in the vaccine and avoid a potential enforcement nightmare for already stretched frontline enforcement personnel.
Yeah, so next, they said, given the varied SOP, SMENTA urged the government to immediately direct all enforcement agencies to adopt a consultative approach to enforcing the SOPs, especially in the first 1 week of new guidelines. They said businesses should not be fined immediately for inadvertent lapses and minor oversight that are not a clear danger to employees, customers or visitors. They then also once again urged the government to have a single agency or point of contact to coordinate the issuance of permits and operating approval letters instead of requiring businesses to go to their respective of governing ministries. Right. They say this has caused some businesses to fall into cracks or no man's land as their businesses are not under any single ministry.
At this point, we should have this clarified. And finally, they urge all SMEs to adhere to all SOPs. They said they have now been given the lifeline that we've been asking for. So we must now step up and ensure that we operate our businesses with safety of employees and customers and visitors in mind.
Right.
And, you know, the excellent points. Essential, non-essential, and that sort of thing, right? And why furniture and not carpet? And so there's you. So that's, I like that point about 80%, right?
Yes.
If you've got 80%, you can operate 80%, and the assumption that all customers are fully vaccinated, right?
Right. Now, coming back to our question today, will you be visiting the barber or the car wash or the furniture shop or the carpet shop now that they're open for business? Are you headed out there already? Have you already headed out there this morning? Are you not sure? Are you not heading out because you're not fully vaccinated, or do you feel it's just too soon? We have some comments to read.
Yes.
Rita.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes, let me just get to that. There you go.
Okay, this is from Richard Bradbury. I think I know him. He said, I want to get a decent haircut as much as anyone, but until I know that all the staff have been vaccinated and that all customers have been fully vaccinated, I think it's a little irresponsible to do so. Vanity can wait. It's better to be 6 feet apart than 6 feet under.
Right. To which Ian McNally, whom I think we also know, responded, I'm torn between getting it now before anyone else and waiting and seeing. You know, my hairdresser is fully vaxxed and has a one-at-a-time policy. We hope that they all do that.
Yes,
you know, that would be the safest.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah, and then this is Muna Arafat. Said, yes, the hair salon, I cut hair from mom and brother. I self-cut mine recently, but need trimming and the pampering though.
Right. Okay. You know, I've cut hair of 8 others who live with me at home, and no one's there to cut mine. So I'm waiting anxiously. This mane is just getting out of control. Right. We have another one here from Livin.
Right, he said, car wash is fine, so I can stay in my car throughout. Not sure about haircuts at the moment, right? And you decide, right? I mean, that's the right
Everyone's thing. Sort of chiming in about their hair. We've got another one here from a very familiar Arvind Yuvaraj, who says, in theory, I'm happy for these businesses, but in practice, I'm not confident everyone will follow these SOPs. So yes, I badly need a haircut and I'm glad the option is there. Not sure how soon I'll be getting one though. Enforcement is the name of the game, I guess.
Right. But also at the same point, you know, what Samantha, you know, Dato' William Ng was saying, right? I mean, from Samantha, like, you know, this fining and all this sort of thing, right? I mean, we also have to be a little bit more careful. And yes, you know, and I think like as a customer, you go in and you have a look at things and, you know, whether you feel right about it. And that interesting comment from Stephen Ho on WhatsApp, like, put that, if you're fully vaccinated, put that little sticker out that we are fully vaccinated, right? And boldly put that at the front of your what? Don't have to wait for enemy ministry to give you that. Just print it out on an A4 paper and put it out there.
Right. On the show today, we're talking about opening for business. Will you be visiting the barber, the car wash, furniture shop, etc. now that they're open for business? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter and on Instagram. Join our poll. At BFM Radio is our handle. You have about 14 minutes to get in touch with us. But for now, here's John Lee Hooker with Money. That's What I Want. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.